Blog Talk Radio.
God, we're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, what a beautiful song. Oh, that is absolutely gorgeous to me. Yeah, you are my hiding place. Yeah, whenever I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in you. We must remember God. He said in his word that if we'll keep our mind on him, he will keep us in perfect peace. But we got to remember him. When things happen, we can't just jump in us and what we think and what we think we can solve. But we must run to him. Hallelujah. Yeah. And if we'll run to him, he can fix it all. He can calm us down. Although the answer may not be the best results that we're looking for, but because we have faith in him and we trust him, oh, we can go on. We can withstand the outcome. But even while it's not feeling so good to us, his word yet says, all things must work together for the good of them that love him, the called according to his purpose. And if he saved you this morning, if Jesus Christ is the Lord and your Savior, your Lord and Savior, he called you, hallelujah, to something. He called you to some type of work. Yeah, for the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we pray faithfully that God will send more laborers. But we ask him to remember the labor that he called or chose us for. Hallelujah. So that we can get our work done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful unto him this morning, and we appreciate him. We thank him. We love him. We worship him. We give him our all because he's so worthy today. When I look back where he brought me from, all I can do is lift my hand and tell him thank you because he truly brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. I've been through a storm and lots of rain, but because of him, I can say today I've made it. Gave me a new heart, a new mind. Hallelujah. Yeah, changed the way I thought about things. Blessed me to understand his word. Yeah. I can get lost in his word. And many of you often heard me say this, when I'm reading the word, I'm right there. When he was up on the mount teaching and the people was hungry and he realized that and the young man come with the fish and the loaves and he prayed over them and multiplied and he was able to feed everybody and fragments was left over. I was right there. Hallelujah. Looking. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I'm sitting up on the side over there, on the bank over there, and I may be eating an apple, but I'm seeing what Jesus is doing. Yeah, I was over there looking on the side over there when he come up. And John was telling, oh, this is he. And he was preferred before me, but, you know, he come after me. Yeah. And he didn't want to baptize Jesus because he realized Jesus was the Son of God. His first cousin, or his cousin, rather. But he told him, this is what the Lord requires. So John baptized him. Hallelujah. Because John was one out in the wilderness crying. Yeah. He was out there baptizing folks unto repentance. But he told them it was one coming greater than him that was going to baptize him with fire and the Holy Ghost. And that's what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Have we been baptized in him? Have we done what he did? He went down in the grave and rose in the newness of life. Yeah, he conquered all and rose with all power. So when we go down in the liquid grave to be baptized of water, when we rise up new. Hallelujah. It's another us now. yeah, we got our mission straight and we on our way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When Nicodemus went to him, he told Nicodemus, you must be baptized. Yeah. You know, of the water and the spirit, of the spirit and the water. Because God is a spirit. He's not human flesh like us. This is why he can be what they call omnipresent. He can be here with me, there with you, and with everybody else at the same time. His eyes are in every place. He's beholding the evil and the good. Yeah. He see the evil and he see the good. What a God we serve. Yeah. And the thing of it all is this, his love for us. I don't know a human being. I don't care how evil they are. I don't know a human being that don't need love. We all want to be loved. People get married because they want to be loved. They have children because they want to love somebody. They get married because they want to love somebody. For God is love today. And he so loved us all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believe on him won't perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah. The good news is this morning. Jesus was willing to do it for us. We couldn't pay the ransom. We couldn't pay the price. But Jesus was willing to pay that price for us. And we should show him a lot more respect. We should give him a lot more than we're giving him today. We should talk more of him. Yeah, we preachers should preach Jesus. And in this United States of America, every state should have a big cross with words of inspiration to show his suffering, his bleeding, his hanging, his dying. Him conquering all and rising with all power. I feel like celebrating him today. Many times they wait until Easter, what we call Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And this is when they want to talk about he rose and all of this. But it's every day of my life. Hey, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Every day of my life, he rose. Every day of my life, he suffered. Every day of my life, he bled for me. He went through great things just for me. And I remember this every day of my life. I remember for God so loved the world. And I'm thankful unto him for what he did at Calvary for me. God found a way. The Father, Jehovah, found a way to redeem us, man, back to him. And I'm so glad he didn't choose no specific people. He didn't just choose the Jews, African Americans, whites, Italians, whatever. He didn't just do that. He did it for everybody. Those who could believe on his son, he did it for you. He did it for the ones who couldn't believe too. But he yet give us a choice today. Yeah. The songwriter said, I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I am glad. I'm so glad he did. Hallelujah. I'm glad he did it for me. I'm glad in 1993 that when he called me, I had to come out. I was in a bad place. And I really didn't have no clue what I was doing, if I'm honest, just messing up, just thinking I'm having fun, because it's fun and sinning. That's why folk keep doing it and don't want to turn it loose. But I'm so glad in 1993 I accepted him truly as my Lord and Savior. And he told me he was going to make my life better than it has ever been. And when I tell you, from birth to in my early 30s, until today, from 93 until today, my life has never been this good. Oh, yeah, I got a good life. I may not be rich. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. I don't have the American dream. But I got Jesus. And, oh, Lord, that's enough. Yeah, I got the Savior of the world. I got him. Hey, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful that I have him that God sent, that God gave. I'm thankful that when I wake up daily, I know my Redeemer lives. He never left me since 93 until 2022. He has never left me nor forsaken me nor walked away. He's been there the entire time, and he won't go anywhere. He won't leave me. He won't do it. I can leave him, but he won't leave me. And my choice today is to never leave him. Throughout eternity, I must stay with him. Because without him, I wouldn't know what to do. He's my life. And my life is hid in him. Hallelujah. Because he changed it. He changed my whole life. Oh, glory to his majesty. Yeah, made me brand new. Made me over. Took away the evil. The bad things I was choosing to do. Took those things away. Because when you get a new mind, you think different. Yeah. Before I went to school, I was thinking different. But once I got the first grade, and I graduated from first grade to second grade, I started thinking different. I can read. I can write. Yeah, I can spell words. You get new, it changes you. But the new that he gave, that all started on the inside, in my heart, in my mind. Yeah, because that's where everything starts, in your mind. When the enemy comes, he speaks to your mind, hoping you believe what he's saying. Or sometimes hoping that you don't believe what he say. That way he can trick you more. Hallelujah. But I found a Savior today. And he is sweet. I know. I know many can say that. Yeah. Dark clouds may rise. Stormy winds may blow. But I can tell the entire world or wherever I go, I have found a Savior. And he's sweet. I know. Jesus Christ. The Son of the true and living God. Oh, the Son of the God that have all power. There's no higher power today. And this is his offspring. Hallelujah. Jesus. And so I'm thankful unto him this morning. I give him glory. I give him honor and praise. And I'm just excited. Today we want to talk from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. And we remember that Samuel's mother, Samuel the prophet, one of the greatest prophets, he taught me a lot of things. But his mother was praying because she didn't have any children. And she was married to a man named Elkanah. And he had two wives, her and Phinehas. And Phinehas, she picked at Hannah for not having children. Even her children picked at Hannah. And Phinehas, her children would come and give all these gifts and everything. And Hannah didn't have nobody to give her gifts, so she just felt bad. But they would go up once a year to sacrifice unto the Lord. And when they got ready to go, her husband would come and give up much, more than 10 sons. And she would be crying, and he would say, Hannah, what's wrong? You know, I love you. Am I not more than fair to you? Do I not give you, you know, more than 10 sons? But she wanted her own child. So while they went up to worship and the sacrifice, Hannah went over by the priest. And I don't think she knew he was looking, but she began to pray, but she wasn't verbally praying where you could audio, where you could hear the words. Her lips was moving. So Eli, the priest, saw her. And he said, you drunk. He thought she was drunk. So he was mimicking her. His mouth was moving, you know. But she wasn't drunk. And so she told him, I'm a woman with problems. I'm praying for a child. And Hannah told God, if you give me a son, give me a child, I'll give the child back to you for the rest of the child's life. Or the rest of my life. So Eli, the priest, prayed for her. And she left and went on. And when she went on home, here comes Samuel. And she wasn't able to go up and sacrifice like she used to because he hadn't been weaned yet. What weaned means he had been taken off the breast or today the bottom. So formula, you know. So when he got, I think he was 3, she took him up. And gave him to Eli to raise up in the house of the Lord. Because Eli was a priest again. And so as he got older, he was in bed. They had gone to bed one night and the Lord was calling him, but he didn't know. And so he went to Samuel several times, Eli. And Eli said, I didn't call you. He said, oh, okay, well, go back to bed. Went back to bed. Well, the last time he went to Eli, Eli told him, said, well, this time you tell him I hear your servant here, you know, and Lord, what is it, in other words, you would have me to do? And little Samuel did that. And he grew to be one of the greatest prophets. And the people knew that he heard from God, that he spoke the words that God spoke to him. But as a boy, God told him what he was going to do to Eli. And Eli asked him, say, what did God tell you? And if you don't tell me the truth, God do so more so to you than he has promised to do to me. So he told him about the two sons. And that nobody in Eli's family would be past their 30s. None of them would see old age. And so Eli said, as the Lord said, because what was he going to do about it? How was he going to change it? God had already spoken. All he could say was amen. All he could do was agree. Because when God speaks, that's it. And we can try to persuade him in a different way. Who was it turned their face to the wall and prayed and God added 15 more years to their life? Yeah. You see? So sometimes God have more grace for us and more mercy for us and give us another chance. But we don't want to tempt him. We don't want to play with Almighty God that have all the power. We don't want to play with Jehovah. He's not the one. The circular songwriter said you better find yourself a toy if you want something to play with. Yeah, don't play with God. So Samuel growing on up, and then Eli's sons, the priest's sons, they wasn't like him. They didn't honor God. You know, they was tricking people at the door of the congregation, of the tabernacle, you know, house of God. They tricking the people and taking the best of the offerings and, you know, telling the people what they wanted and what they didn't want. And don't cook my meat when you bring it to sacrifice. Leave it raw. I'll do what I want with. Now, it's robbing the people, going with women. Yeah, all kind of stuff. So they went out, Israel went out to battle and Hophni and Phinehas, them was Eli's son. Both of them got killed in the same day. Well, one of them wife was pregnant, and when they came and told her the news, she had the baby, but she died. Well, because both sons died and Eli died. When Eli found out, he fell over and broke his neck. So he died. She heard all of this and she died. So now Samuel is still doing what God would have him to do, and the people have much respect. And we're going to get to see how Samuel eventually here, how Samuel and David and Saul connected. Yeah, we're going to get to see that. I want to read this because when I was in the book of Kings, a lot of people, even in the archives, a lot of people were coming to hear, were coming to see what was happening with the king. And I believe it was Brother Anthony, he said, yeah, it's more fun when you have somebody reading with you and talking about it with you. You know, you'll enjoy it more. And I want to do this book of Samuel, 1st and 2nd Samuel. And a lot of people may go away because they may not be interested. But when I tell you, you're going to get to see how the Psalms come about. Yeah. And we got to see how Solomon wrote the Proverbs because he was so wise. Yeah. So I wanted to share 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel with you. And I told you quite a bit about 1 Samuel, the beginning. But as we read on, we're going to get to see a lot of things. We're going to get to see how Tamar, and I think that was David's daughter, if I'm not mistaken, and she was raped by a brother, a cousin, And another brother went over and talking about drama. They talking about the soap operas. The soap don't have nothing on David and his family. Because, see, David messed up when he fooled around with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed. So it would never be peace in his house. He was a king, became king. Now, from shepherd boy to the kingdom. But that thing followed him. And sometimes what we've done in our past will follow us. God has forgiven us. But we reap what we sow. Yeah. And so we thank God for Jesus. We thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. There is none like him. We can search all over. Won't find nobody. Yeah. Nobody greater than Almighty God. And look, I think about this many days. All the power in the whole wide world. You know how big the world is? But I think about all that power is on my side. I think about the God that made the heaven and the earth is for me. He made me for his pleasure. It pleased him to make Barbara. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. I've gone to bed and laid down many nights and was kicking and shaking in the bed, excited and happy because I thought on the goodness of the Lord. He made me for his pleasure. He made you for his pleasure. You're one of a kind. There's nobody else like you. I don't care what you think you're missing because you're comparing yourself to other people. Don't compare yourself to nobody else because there's nobody else like you. He made you unique, one of a kind. They may favor you. Some people, the identical twins, they look alike, but guess what? Both of those two individuals are very different. Very different. God makes no mistake. He made you unique and wonderful. And you can compare yourself to other people if you want to. But compare yourself to you. That's who you need to compare it to. To me, I am who I am. Nobody have these hands but me. Nobody feel with these hands but me. I'm the only one can feel what I feel with my hands. Now, you feel what you feel with your hands, but you won't feel what I feel with my hands. Hallelujah. Sometimes God will show us things he haven't shown anyone else. Special. Each one of us are special and precious in his sight. Yeah. Your trials are not like my trials. My trials are totally different. Then there are some trials that we have alike. Because we are one in him. Many members but one body. You might be an eye, I'm an ear. Louis is a nose. Jerry is a mouth. Huh? Dot is a brain. Yeah, somebody else is a toe. Somebody else is the toenail that covers the toe to keep anything from getting in the toe. Somebody else is the hand. Many different members, but one body. We make up all this body. Because when you put my ears and my eyes and my brain and my head and my neck and my jaws and my shoulder, even gave my eyebrows and eyelashes to protect the eye and everything, it makes up one body, many members but one body. We all are different, but we yet serve God. We may not all serve him the same. But if we love him, we mean the same love to him. We mean to praise him and to worship him in spirit and in truth. He gave us his word. Well, he gave us his son, which is still the word of God. Because in the beginning, when God said, let us make, the word was there. Jesus was there. He was just the word. And later on, if you look over in John, he made him flesh. Flesh dwelt among men. Yeah, he came. That we might have life and have it more abundantly. He come that God could save us out of our sin. He come that we could have a better life in this life on the earth. And he comes so that after this ends, we clock out down here. Our work is over with. We clock out down here for the last time. He comes that we have an even better life. And the better life is throughout eternity. It'll never end. Isn't that wonderful news? Good morning, CR and Honey Bunny. God bless you. That's good news, everybody. Eternal life. But how many know it takes something to get something? Yeah, we got to treat him right. We got to show him that we're his. My dad was named Prince Pittman, and my brother and I both, we looked like our dad. I kind of, you know, a little bit resemble my mom, but I look more like my dad. So does my brother. So we're Prince children. And we've done some bad things, and it probably won't be the last time we did wrong or sin, but guess what? Prince was a man of honor. Prince loved the Lord. And every now and then, the traits of Prince come out. I desire to do good. Naturally good. Because Prince was my dad. So if God is our father, we should show that. There should be some signs in us that we have a spiritual father, that we have a godly father. It should come out of us. We should be kind to others. We should have patience for the elderly, for our seniors. I'm a senior. And me being a senior, I should have kindness and patience and grace and mercy for other seniors and love for other seniors. Yeah. I should do the same for children, men, women, boys, and girls. I should want to help people where I know I can help. I don't have a lot of money. So I just can't be around here giving a $10,000 out of me and $1,000, $705. I don't have it like that. But I can show love in other ways. I can cook a meal for somebody. May not be every day, but every now and then I can cook something and share it with you. Yeah, I may be able to go and buy a gift. Now, the gift may not cost $200, may not cost $50, but guess what? I was able to manage to purchase you a gift. And I'm thankful unto the Lord. I got to send Margaret a care box because I know that'll make her so excited. And Irene, I need your address. I want to send you something. A lot of times people get these gifts and they be like, oh my goodness, when I got it, it just did my heart. So, because nobody's sending them anything. And when you show love to them, they know it's genuine. They know you're not doing this so you can get something back. They never ask you for anything. They just want it to be a blessing unto you. Hallelujah. God is faithful unto us, and we should show our faithfulness unto him. Yeah, and it's all right today in Jesus' name. Listen, I have a request this morning, and I'm going to this request, but we also want to remember our $100 seed. If you can plant that $100 today, please, you can cash at me. You can put it in the mail even. It takes a bit longer, but I understand everybody don't trust the internet. And so they put it in the mail if they can. And my address is P.O. Box 8032. P.O. Box 8032. Fleming Island, Florida. 32003. Yeah, and I do have Zelle. I do have Zelle. And you can send it to my email through Zelle. And that would be all letters, no numbers, all written letters, small letters. TheSpice1Hot@yahoo.com. I've had that email address for many years. My employees gave it to me. TheSpice1Hot@yahoo.com. Over on Cash App, you can send it to Cash Now. The C in Cash is the large C. We call it a capital C. The N in Now is a large noun. I mean, a large N, we call it the capital M. So Cash Now, 1727. You put the money sign first. Put the money sign first. Cash Now, 1727. Over at on PayPal, you can send it to freedomdoors@yahoo.com, or you can send it to Barbara Mack, 2002@yahoo.com, and I get it. And because we shortening up, and we should only have a little bit more to go. But if I can get everyone who can to send $100, if you could send $200, if you could send $500, that would really help us, because we're trying to help this family. And I refuse to give up. I'm going to the flea market on Saturday to see what I can make. And this time I went and picked up things to carry to sell to the flea market, but I have to give a percentage back to the people who gave me the stuff to sell, because of where they got it from. They got it on credit to give to me, that the company trusted them. And so they trust me, and now I got to make sure I give back to them. But God is faithful. Let me tell you, he is faithful. And I didn't know I had to do it like this until the last minute. But that's okay. That's okay. It's not a whole lot at one time, but I got to get it done. So if you could help me to raise the balance of this money, of the $1,600, we would be grateful. We got about $600, $700. So we need about $900 more. And because we thought we had more, but it didn't come in. We'll wait. And Sister Samoa did hers, but it didn't get here yet. And so we're waiting on that one. And then I got two more I'm waiting for that would be done. That's a total of 300. So that would probably make us have around $700 already. And we would need another nine. So we can do this. We can. And if you don't have 100, if you could send 20, 15, 10, whatever you can send, we would greatly appreciate it. Because we're trying to pull all we can together to come up with the money. I did $30 on Sunday, and I think I did $8 last Saturday. That's $38. And so we're pulling all of, you know, our resources a little bit here, a little bit there, and put it together. So $10, $5, $3, $1, whatever you can send, send it. If you can send $1 a week, you know, that'll help us too. So until we reach that $1,600 goal, once we reach our goal, that's it. We're not trying to get no more money. Yeah, I'm not one to drag money out of people if I don't have to, and, you know, keep asking you for money like that. That's not me, because God does supply. But sometimes he called us to do some things, and sometimes it's a test to see, are we cheerful givers? Louis, right out the boat, just jumped out there in the water and started swimming to the shore with his 100. Andrea Stenner, Samoa, and different ones. Irene, brand new. She jumped right on board. I thought she would put it in the mail. Irene showed me, hey, I know a little something about the internet. Don't think I'm an old woman and don't know nothing. Yeah. So different ones has blessed us already. So if you would continue to help us. See, I get it confused some days because I have so much I'm trying to keep up with. But if you can, whatever you can give, we appreciate it. You can sell it. If you can Cash App it, if you can PayPal it, you can put it in the mail. We will greatly appreciate it. And you may have to go back to listen to this particular episode so you can get the information again if you don't have my phone number, if we're not Facebook friends. You know, but if I'm on the internet somewhere and you know how to contact me, and I'll give you the information again if you need it. Yeah, so that we can be a blessing. Hallelujah. God is faithful unto us, and we want to be faithful unto others. And I know some people can squeeze it out, you know, because we spend more on fast food, eating out, than we do, you know, anything. I know gas is high, but give out of your need. Give out of your need. I know food is expensive. Give out of your need. God will open a door for you. Yeah. Let me tell you, when I was before Corona, and before they talking about this, whatever they calling it, you know, with the money situation and the gas and the food and everything going up, I didn't eat as much shrimp and seafood. It was a bit, to me, you know, a little expensive. But now that this has come about, I never fill my truck as much with gas. I'm filling my truck more. I have more food. Listen, why? Before I got to this, I was a cheerful giver. So now that it's gotten to this, God is not going to allow me to lack in nowhere, no way, no how. If anything, he's going to increase because I was a giver. And I'm still giving. A lot of days I gave what I really didn't have to give. I had it, but it wasn't to give to somebody. I needed it, but I gave because they needed it. Somebody's house note was due. My electric bill was due. I gave the electric money to help them to pay the house note. Because, see, I could have a candlelight church service. If they lost their home, they couldn't do that. They had children. And you don't want to be homeless, although I see many, you don't want to be homeless with children. But if you give, God going to make sure you keep your house. If you're a giver, God going to make sure you eat the good of the land. I eat the good of the land. And I was telling someone last night about eggplant. They told me don't fool with too much of it because it messed with arthritis. But I love that. They said, oh, I knew you love eggplant. I don't like it. I don't know how to cook it. I'll bring it my way. I know what to do with it. I take eggplant and make it, you know, slice it thin and make it like a burger. Yeah, put the mayonnaise on the bread and the lettuce and the eggplant. Not too thick now. Yeah, put the eggplant on there, tomato, cheese, ketchup, mustard, whatever you like. And you won't even know that you're not bacon. You won't even know that you're not eating a burger. Irene, I know that made you happy because I know Louis is banking on it right now. Yeah. God is faithful. He'll raise up something just for you. He can't find nobody else to give it to you. He'll find a way. He'll put it on the ground. You'll just walk up and bury it, pick it up. It don't belong to nobody. Nobody else is around. You don't even have nobody to ask, is this yours? And it's just the exact amount that you needed. He put it on the ground. If he'll get you to understand, I put it on the ground and you're going to walk off and leave it on the ground, he'll send it in the mail, an unexpected check. I'm telling you what he does. He's got all power. There's no higher power. Hallelujah. So if you're a giver this morning, rest assured he's going to make ways where you see no way. Because he's not just a way maker. He is the way. All power. He conquered all and rose with all power. He and the Father, they are one. He's our mediator. He's between us and God. He's the one that take our petition to the Father. And you often heard me say, and I believe because that special son brought it, he's going to do it. Hallelujah. Because Jesus already done sifted out. He already done got all of the what shouldn't be in there out of there when he presented to the Father. And he's not going to take nothing amiss to the Father. He already know what the Father accepts, and that's what he's going to take about prayer to the Father. Hallelujah. Somebody tell God thank you this morning. Yeah, he's that kind of God. Let me get this request in, and when we come back, we're coming back talking about 1 Samuel, and I believe we're going to look at chapter 4, and we'll move on from there.
You find all. encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Apostle James Pinckney and the Voices of Faith. I like that number right there. You fight on. Keep your sword in your hand and you fight on. Yeah, we wake up in the morning with the Word of God. Yeah, we our sword is the Word. And I've heard people say back in the day, they was like, well, I got my gun with me, I keep it loaded. And I'm like, what kind of gun is that? The Christians taking guns around. But they let me know it was their Bible. It was their Bible. And wherever they go, they take this Bible with them. They take the Word of God. Because one told me one time, said, you never know when you're going to have to shoot the devil. Oh, I was so tickled. Oh, that tickled me. Yeah, you never know when you're going to have to shoot the devil, and I need my gun. Yeah, and it's loaded. Yeah. But we thank God for his word this morning, because his word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It show us the right way to go. Yeah, the safe way to go. His word does that for us. Hallelujah. So look, we're looking at 1 Samuel. And I'm looking at the fourth chapter of 1 Samuel. And we're looking at the first verse. And I'm going to be reading from the Basic English Bible. And I have the King James Version next to it. But a lot of people told me when I read from the Basic English Bible, they understand better. And so I try to give as much clarity as possible. But we all need to be praying that God give us wisdom of his word, understanding and knowledge of his word. Because over in 1 John, the first chapter, verse 5, says that if any man like wisdom, let him ask of God. They give lip and upbraideth not. So that's what we want to do. While the word is coming forth in the mornings, we want to be praying, Lord, help me to understand that. And Lord, help me to remember this. You had this written for my learning. I need to know these things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's read. Starting at verse 1, it says, now at that time the Philistines came together to make war against Israel. And the men of Israel went out to war against the Philistines and took up their position at the side of Ebenezer. And the Philistines put their forces in position in Aphek. And the Philistines put their forces in order against Israel. And the fighting was hard, and Israel was overcome by the Philistines, who put to the sword about 4,000 men of their army in the field. Yeah. And when the people came back to their tents, the responsible men of Israel said, why has the Lord let the Philistines overcome us today? Let us get the Ark of the Lord's agreement here from Shiloh, so that it may be with us and give us salvation from the hands of those who are against us. So the people sent to Shiloh and got the Ark of the Agreement, well, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Agreement of the Lord of Armies, whose resting place is between the Winged Ones and Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were there with the Ark of God's Agreement. And when the Ark of the Lord's Agreement came into the tent circle, all Israel gave a great cry, so that the earth was sounding with it. It rained. It rained out. R-A-N-G. Yeah. And the Philistines, hearing the noise of the cry, said, what is this great cry among the tents of the Hebrews? Then it became clear to them that the Ark of the Lord had come to the tent circle. And the Philistines, full of fear, said, God has come into their tent. And they said, trouble is ours, for never before has such a thing been seen. Trouble is ours. Who will give us salvation from the hands of these great gods? These are the gods who sent all sort of blows on the Egyptians in the wasteland. You know, all them boils and all of that when he told Pharaoh to let them go and they refused. Oh, God sent some stuff over there, some grasshoppers and all kind of stuff. They broke out in boils and the water was bloody. Oh, it was just too much. But these Philistines remembering what God, the God of Israel, would do for you. Yeah. Verse 9 says, be strong, O Philistines, be men. Do not be servants to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Go forward to the fight. Go forward to the fight with fear, without fear, without fear. 10 says, so the Philistines went to the fight, and Israel was overcome, and every man went in flight to his tent. And great was the destruction, for 30,000 footmen of Israel were put to the sword. My goodness. And the ark of God was taken. And Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, were put to the sword. They killed them. And a man of Benjamin went running from the fight and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothing out of order and earth on his head. He had rent his clothes. He had tore his clothes and put dirt on his head. And when he came to Eli, Eli was seated by the wayside watching. And in his heart was fear for the ark of God. And when the man came into the town and gave the news, there was a great outcry. Because look, he was sad. He was hurt. He was under distress right there because they done took the ark of God out of the tabernacle, out of its place, and going to take it out, thinking they were going to win. They asked, well, what have we done? But they didn't wait for an answer. They answered their own self. Well, let's go get the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Agreement. Let's go get it. What we need to do, and when we see things happening, we need to stand still and talk to the Lord God. Is this a test? Is this a trial? Do I have to go through this? What should I do? Why has this come up for me? And have the patience to wait on God. Don't go to talking about, well, I'm going to fast for 40 days. Fast for 40 days. Mess around and die. Because see, you're not finding out what you've done and what you need to do. You done come to a conclusion yourself. I'm going to fast. God didn't say no fasting. He may have said something like this. Go back to the old path and take a look around. Go back and remember the day that you come to me. I need you to do your first works over. He may give you that. He may say, I need you to go back to Proverbs 3, Barbara. Chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And I need you to stay right there for the next 3 days until this thing get back down in your spirit, in your heart, that no matter what come up, you're going to trust me. You're not going to make a move on your own. But see, they asked. Why this thing came, why was the Philistines winning against them, but they didn't stand still for an answer. They rushed out and got the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Agreement. And them Philistines whipping them, 30,000, and they're going to take that Ark of Agreement from them. The enemy going to have the Ark of the Agreement God made with you and him. So look. 12 says, and a man of Benjamin went running from the fight and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothing out of order and earth on his head. And when he came, Eli was seated by the wayside. That's the priest, Eli the priest, watching. And his heart was fear for the ark of God. Yeah, then they moved Eli. They ran over there and got it and then wait on God. And when the man came into the town and gave the news, there was a great cry, outcry. And Eli, hearing the noise and cry, said, what is the reason of this outcry? And the man came quickly and gave the news to Eli. Now, Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were fixed so that he was not able to see. His eyes had become dim. 98 years old, he wasn't seeing like he used to. And the man said to Eli, I have come from the army and have come in flight today from the fight. And he said, how did it go, my son? And the man said, Israel went in flight from the Philistines, and there has been great destruction among the people. And your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been taken. They done took it. The enemy got it. And at these words about the ark of God, Eli falling back off his seat by the side of the doorway into the town, came down on the earth so that his neck was broken and death overtook him. But he was an old man and of great weight. He had been judging Israel for 40 years. He fell backwards, broke his neck, and died. You see the scripture say he was an older man and he had great weight. So that means he was fat. He was big and fat, heavy. Yeah. Fell backwards off that seat, broke his neck and died. It's the priest. But God told Samuel when Samuel was a boy that this would happen to Eli. Yeah. Because he would not stop Hophni and Phinehas. He wouldn't stop his sons from doing all kind of stuff in the house of the Lord. Yeah. And his daughter, excuse me, and his daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was with child and near the time when she would give birth. And when she had the news that the ark of God had been taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, her pains came on her suddenly. And she gave birth. And when she was very near death, the woman who were with her said, have no fear, for you have given birth to a son. But she made no answer and gave no attention to it. And she gave the child the name of Ichabod, saying, the glory has gone from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is gone from Israel, for the ark of God has been taken. Well, now, I hope that I would have been praying, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, help us to win. Because we asked, what is it that we done? And we didn't wait. We rushed out to get the ark of the covenant, the ark of the agreement. And what we did was wrong, Lord. Help us. That we don't do this no more. I'm raising my hand because I'm guilty. I've done it too. Time I hear a little noise or something bad happening, I'm looking in the natural to see if I can fix it. I'm not praying about it. I'm looking in the natural because I need to know how quickly I can get this done. Some things God don't want it to move so quick. Some things he wants you to leave it right where it is. He allowed it, leave it alone. He had already told us to trust him. He already said all things must work together for the good of them that love and those that are called according to his purpose. He already done told us these things. He done gave us great and precious promises. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that loves us. Why can't we be still and know that he is God? Why we got to hurry up and move something, do something? And we're doing it by the flesh. We're not doing it according to the Spirit of God. Yeah, we got to be careful. Must be careful. And it will be all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we're looking at verse 5 now. We went over to verse 5 and we're looking at verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now the Philistines, having taken the ark of God, took it with them from Ebenezer to Ashdod. They took the ark of God into the house of Dagon and put it by the side of Dagon. This is the Philistine god, Dagon now. They done took the ark of God and put it next to Dagon. Are you kidding me? Verse 3 says, and when the people of Ashdod got up early on the morning after, they saw that Dagon had come down to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon up and put him in his place again. Everything going to bow down to the true and living God that have all power. Dagon done fell over. And in front of the God, the true and living God bowed down. Well, the ark of the true and living God bowed down. Verse 4 says, and when they got up early on the morning after Dagon had come down to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord, and his head and his hands were broken off on the doorstep, only the base was in its place. Oh, you better see it, Sion. Look at this. Now, the first time he was down on his face before God, the ark of God, but they put him back up, put Dagon back up. Now, Dagon fell down before the Lord again, and this time his head and his hands were broken off. Wasn't nothing left but the stump, the base, where they set Dagon up on. That's all was left this time. Verse 5 says, so to this day, no priest of Dagon or any who come into Dagon's house would put his foot on the doorstep of the house of Dagon in Ashdod. Dagon wasn't no good. Dagon couldn't fight my battles. Because the God of Israel done destroyed Dagon and somebody. Yeah. Mm-mm. So verse 6 says this, but the hand of the Lord was hard on the people of Ashdod. And he sent disease on them through all the country of Ashdod. They should have left them people God where it was. Left that Ark of the Covenant on over there. Fight if you want to, but don't go talking about you taking their God. Yeah. And you saw what he done to Pharaoh. Yeah. 7 says, and when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, let not the ark of God of Israel be with us, for his hand is hard on us and on Dagon, our God. So they sent for all the lords of the Philistines to come together there and said, what are we to do with the ark of the God of Israel? And their answer was, let the ark of the God of Israel be taken away to Gath. So they took the ark of the God of Israel away. But after they had taken it away, the hand of the Lord was stretched out against the town for its destruction, and the signs of disease came out on all the men of the town, small and great. Oh, yeah. Y'all taking it to Gath? Okay, Gath finna suffer. All y'all gonna have these boils on you and things. Verse 10 says, so they sent the ark of God to Achan, and when the ark of God came to Achan, the people of the town made an outcry saying, they have sent the ark of the God of Israel to us for the destruction of us and our people. I know that's right. Let's get it out of here. So they sent and got together all the lords of the Philistines, and they said, send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go back to its place so that it may not be the cause of death to us and our people. But there was a great fear of death through all the town. The hand of God was very hard on them there. And those men who were not overtaken by death were cruelly diseased. And the cry of the town went up to heaven. My goodness. Ooh-wee. No, I didn't want any of that. Oh, I would have been one of the leaders. I would have been talking like, hopefully, let this go back to where you got it from. And don't bring nothing else from those people. Yeah, they suffered with tumors. Yes, they did. Don't bring any more the people God over here to us. No, don't do that. Now, go on out and fight and win battles. But don't bring their God in here to us, because you see what's happening. But I would have been thinking I would have been fearful and left them Israelites alone, but God had a purpose and a plan. Oh, yeah. In chapter 6, verse 1, it says, now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines for 7 months. They had the Ark of Agreement in the country for 7 months. And the Philistines sent for the priests and those who were wise in secret arts and said to them, what are we to do with the Ark of the Lord? How are we to send it away to its place? Now you're getting smart. Send it back where you got it from. But they sent for the type priests, and they sent for the wise men that do secret arts, witchcraft, and all kind of weird stuff. Yeah, they sent for them. And now they're telling them, oh, let's send it back to where we got it from. In verse 3 it says, and they said, if you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it without an offering. What? But send him a sin offering with it. Then you will have peace again. And it will be clear to you why the weight of his hand has not been lifted from you. Then they said, with sin offering, are we to send to him? What sin offering are we to send to him? And they said, 5 gold images of the growth caused by your disease. The tumors. He had tumors break out on him. Yeah. And 5 gold mice, 1 for every lord of the Philistines, for the same disease came on you and on your lords. Boy, people have a way, don't they? People have a way. What sin offering are we to send him? And they said, 5 gold images of the growth caused by the disease and 5 gold mice. The tumors that broke out on him, we're going to send him that. And 5 gold mice. 1 for every lord of the Philistines, for the same disease came on you and on your lords. Man, and it's thinking. So make images, verse 5, make images of the growth caused by your disease and of the mice which are damaging your land, and give glory to the God of Israel. It may be that the weight of his hand will be lifted from you and from your God and from your land. So look what he did. He sent the mice all through there. Ooh, I could imagine. Mice running rampant. The more mice they kill, the more mice come. And they may have started worshiping the mice themselves. You never know. And the tumors that God caused them to be diseased with. Why do you make your hearts hard like the hearts of Pharaoh and the Egyptians? We had made sport of them. Did they not let the people go? And they went away. So what are you telling them? Y'all going to harden your heart like the Egyptians and like Pharaoh did? They laughed at the Israelites. They laughed at the people we had in bondage. But do you see what happened? And when we let them went away, things changed for us. No more grasshoppers. No more locusts, in other words. And no more dying. The water turned back right from blood and mosquitoes and just all kind of stuff. God let them have it. You hear me? I said, let my people go, Pharaoh. Yeah. So verse 7 says, so now take and make ready a new cart and 2 cows which have never come under the yoke, and have the cows yoked to the cart, and take their young ones away from them, and put the ark of the Lord on the cart and the gold images which you are sending as a sin offering in a chest by its side, and send it away so that it may go. Now they're going to put the cows that never had no blemish. They don't have any blemishes. I mean, they thoroughbred. They're beautiful, you know. Nothing is wrong with them. And they're going to take the cow children away from them. And now they're going to put a yoke on it to carry the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Agreement. Yeah. So verse 9 says, if it goes by the land of Israel to Beth Shemesh, then this great evil is his work, But if not, then we may be certain that the evil was not his doing, but was the working of chance. People always trying to figure a way, trying to find a way. Well, it wasn't this. No, it had to be that. Well, it wasn't that. It had to be this. Well, it was this and it was that. But that's not the way it's going to go. Yeah. So look, thank you, Brother Lewis, for posting script. So look now. They said that if we're going to let the cows took the straight way by the road Beth Shemesh. They went by the highway, not turning to the right or to the left. And the sound of their voices was clear on the road. And the lords of the Philistines went after them as far as the edge of Beth Shemesh. And the people of Beth Shemesh, cutting their grain in the balance and lifting up their eyes, they saw the ark and were full of joy when they saw it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua, the Bethshemite, and came to a stop there by a great stone. And cutting up the wood of the cart, they made a burnt offering of the cows to the Lord. Then the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the chest in which were the gold images and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh made burnt offerings and gave worship that day before the Lord. And the five lords of the Philistines, having seen it, went back to Ekron the same day. Now these are the gold images which the Philistines sent as a sin offering to the Lord. One for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, one for Ekron, and the gold mice, one for every town of the Philistines, the property of the five lords, walled towns as well as country places. And the great stone where they put the ark of the Lord is still in the field of Joshua, the Bethshemite, to this day. But the Lord sent destruction on 70 men of the people of Bethshemesh for looking into the ark of the Lord. And great was the sorrow of the people for the destruction which the Lord had sent on them. Ooh-wee. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to keep his place before the Lord, this holy God? And to whom may he go from us? And they sent men to the people living in Kerish, as good as I know the word, y'all. Kirith Jearim. Saying the Philistines have sent back the ark of the Lord. Come and take it up to your country. Yeah. So they got to see what they was getting. Don't play with God. Don't play with God. And keep your hands off what does not belong to you, but belong to Almighty God that have all power. Yeah. Keep your hands off what belong to God. If he has declared this to be holy, let it be holy. Because you put your hand on it, you're going to make it unholy. And that's not what that's not his instructions. So look, over in verse 7 in chapter 1. So the men of Kirith Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord to the house of Abinadab in Gibeah. And they made his son Eleazar holy and put the ark in his care. And the ark was in Kirith Jearim for a long time, as much as 20 years. And all Israel was searching after the Lord with weeping. 20 years. Then Samuel said to all Israel, if with all your hearts you would come back to the Lord, then put away all the strange gods and the Ashtaroth starts from among you, and let your hearts be turned to the Lord, and be servants to him only, and he will make you safe from the hands of the Philistines. Did I not tell you? They asked a question, but they didn't wait for God. They decided on what to do on their own without the instructions of the Lord. And they took the Ark of Agreement from them. The Ark of the Covenant, they took it from them. Yeah. But when God got through, they sent it back. When God got through showing he have all power, I'll destroy you, they sent that Ark of Agreement back to where it come from. It took a few things. They went through some things, but they finally got it right. Here come the prophet Samuel. And he's telling them what to do. Put away them strange gods and your astrologies and your witchcraft and your bone throwing and your salt shaking and your ammonia washing. Put the food, candle burning. Put that mess away. What is the burning your sage? Put it away. God don't need no help. God can't use that. And you're doing all of this talking about I'm the man, the woman of God. No, you're not. You're of the devil. Your dad of the devil. Yeah. God don't need no help. Now, if he told, this is written for our learning. If he told him to put all of that away back then, he's saying the same thing today. He haven't changed. He's not accepting no candle burning, salt shaking, ammonia washing, sage burning. Yeah, dust throwing. No, he's not with that. And if you're around these kind of people and they teaching you this kind of foolishness, you see for yourself, put it away. And most people I know that do that kind of stuff and come back on their children. I'm telling you the truth. So in verse 4 of chapter 7 now, so the children of Israel gave up the worship of Baal and Ashtar and became worshipers of the Lord only. See? Before they was worshiping Baal, the devil. That was the wrong God. But once the prophet told them what God said, then they came close in the right mind enough to know, oh no, we got to let this go. We got to worship God and worship him only. Jehovah. We only can worship him, nothing else. Then Samuel said, let all Israel come to Mizpah, and I will make prayer to the Lord for you. So they came together to Mizpah and got water draining it out before the Lord and took no food that day. And they said, we have done evil against the Lord. And Samuel was judge of the children of Israel in Mizpah. Samuel got a great anointing and he had an excellent position. Now that wasn't easy. That was not easy. There are some things he had to suffer, some things he had to give up. And many days he was alone. He didn't have a lot of people around him. Only when God sent them. I'm not telling you what somebody told me, but I'm telling you what I know to be the truth. When you're a true man or woman of God, God has gave you gifts and many things, because to whom much is given, much is required. You're not hanging out everywhere with everybody. You're not doing what everybody else is doing. And many days you're alone. You're by yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7 says, of chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, it says, now when the Philistines had news that the children of Israel had come together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and the children of Israel, hearing of it, were full of fear. Yeah, they got scared. Verse 8 says, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, go on crying to the Lord our God for us to make us safe from the hands of the Philistines. Verse 9, and Samuel took a young lamb, offering all of it as a burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel made prayers to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord gave him an answer. Verse 10. And while Samuel was offering the burnt offering, the Philistines came near for the attack on Israel. But at the thunder of the Lord's voice that day, the Philistines were overcome with fear. and they gave way before Israel. Now you see that? Yeah, all they had to do was turn back to God. All we got to do today is turn back to God. If we'll turn back to God, all of us, every American, no matter how you became an American, you have the title now of an American. If we are all turned back to the true and living God, we'll be gone. All the murders, all the child molesting, all this crazy stuff going on, it will be gone. The prices of food and gas and everything, all of that won't even be it will be the right prices that every man and every woman can afford. Because it takes me back to the scripture that says, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive the sins and heal the land. But now the people, they're on the right track. And God calls in Israel to win now. So verse 11 says, and when the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and went after the Philistines, attacking them till they came under Bethkar. Yeah. Now that we know that God is on our side, you Philistines, we coming for you. And we're going to take you as far as we can take you. We're going to destroy as many of you, because they destroyed 30,000 of Israel. God allowed it. He let it happen. Disobedience. Be careful with that disobedience. Brothers in the church, be careful. I know you see the sisters in the church. And sisters in the church, be careful what you wear to church. Be careful what you wear around the brethren. You call these men to backslide. Brothers, be careful how you approach the sisters. You put some things on their mind that wasn't on their mind, and it caused them to backslide. And then it will cause some things to come to the house, their homes that wasn't there before. They had their mind on God, but now all of this stuff happening, the men taking the women mind off God, and the women taking the men mind off God. And we got to be obedient unto God. If not, we from under the ark of safety. We're from under the ark of the covenant. Because we've killed the covenant. The contract is void now. Because we went against the contract with God that we have. Don't let fornication be once named among you. When you fornicate, not only do you sin against God, but you're sinning against your own body. That's the word. That's not Barbara. That's the word of God. Adulterers, you're going with married folks and all of that. Guess what? You got a place in hell if you don't stop. That's not me. That's not Barbara. That's the word of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. So 11 says, and the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and went after the Philistines, attacking them till they came under Bethkar. Verse 12 says, then Samuel took a stone and put it up between Mizpah and Jeshanah, naming it Ebenezer. Ebenezer, and saying, up to now, the Lord has been our help. That's all we got today is Almighty God. That's all we all got. Yeah. 13 says, so the Philistines were overcome and did not come into the country of Israel again. And all the days of Samuel, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. Ooh, I love that Samuel. You hear me? Of that Samuel, strong man of God, but was weak for his children. Strong man of God, though. And the town which the Philistines had taken were given back to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and all the country round them, Israel made free from the power of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And in verse 15, and Samuel was judge of Israel all the days of his life. Great position. God gave him some power. God gave him a great place, yeah, to be able to bless these people. From year to year, he went in, turned to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, judging Israel and all those places. And his base was at Ramah, where his house was. There he was judge of Israel, and there he made an altar to the Lord. Samuel was a smart man. Oh, yeah, I'm going to give God my all. I can't play with him. Yeah, I know better. I got to do what he would have me to do. Yeah. And sometimes it's a grievous thing. It's like, it's not that you don't want to obey God, but the task, what you have to do, what you have to say, who you have to say it to. I know the old timers that's been coming a while, you've heard me say this. I had to tell my niece, nothing will get right for you until you get right with God. That was one of my oldest brother twin daughters. And I was hurt to have to tell her that, but I had to tell her because of some things she was doing. And I was kind of stunned by that. So the next day I go to the Lord. I said, Lord, was that me or was that you? And God said it was me. Hey, glory. Huh. I said what I meant. And I meant what I said. Nothing will get right for her until she get right with me. In other words, I don't care who niece she is. I don't care what spot she holding in your family and in your heart. Nothing will get right for her until she gets right with me. This Old Testament was written for our learning. We can learn a lot from these people. And we can learn a lot of what not to do that will cause God to be angry with us, that will cause God to stir up, that will cause God to allow whatever we into bring our way. We reap what we sow. If you done took somebody's husband, you get married, somebody going to take yours, as they say. Nobody took him. He went on over there. If you've been mean to somebody else's children, somebody's going to be mean to yours. If you done talked about folks and gossip about folks, somebody going to talk bad and gossip about you. You can just get ready for it. Don't get mad when you hear it. Been there and done that. I wanted to get upset over. No, don't get upset when you were talking about them other people. You wasn't upset. Now somebody done stole from you. Don't get mad because they stole from you. How much you stole from them people bank? Hey, you reap what you sow. This was written for our learning. So we'll see what not to do against God. But what to do unto God, that's what this is teaching this morning. And don't run to your flesh before you run to God. Run to God. I don't care what happened. You heard Mama pass, run to God. Many things we didn't think we could get through, God brought us through. Although he showed me my daughter was going on home to take her rest, that was disturbing for me. He warned me, but I was yet her mother. That was yet my daughter. There will be no more times together on this side. I got to wait till I get there with him to see her again. I can't say it was always easy. Oh, but God strengthened me to go through. Hallelujah. And until this day, thank you, Jesus. He has strengthened me in many things I've had to endure, I've had to go through. God is looking for some bold, strong soldiers. He's not looking for weak people. He can't do nothing with that. He needs somebody that's going to stand up and say, I believe Jesus is the Son of the true and living God. I believe that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believe on him won't perish but have everlasting life. He's looking for somebody to say, I don't do that kind of thing. God is watching. For the eyes of the Lord is in every place. He's beholding the evil and the good. Hallelujah. We're going to get on with 1 Samuel chapter 8. We're moving this morning. And we're reading from the basic English Bible. And I have King James on the left side and his basic Bible on the right. The screen is split. So I can see, you know, if it's the same on the left as it is on the right. Is James, King James saying the same thing as his basic English Bible? But what is the English basic Bible did is break it down in our terms and use English so that we could understand better. So we're looking at chapter 8 and verse 1 of 1 Samuel. And it says, now when Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his first son was Joah, and the name of his second son, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons did not go in his ways, but moved by the love of money, took rewards, and were not upright in judging. The sons didn't do what the prophet Samuel did. They took bribes. They perverted the people. Yeah. And they didn't judge upright. They didn't do the right thing. They loved money. They took rewards. Yeah. Then all the responsible men of Israel got together and went to Samuel at Ramah. Then all the responsible men. See, in the house of the Lord, in the church, there should be some responsible men that can come together and tell pastor, you got to sit down. We know what you're up to. You've been laundering money from the dope boys. We know what you've been doing, pastor. You're going with folk wives in here. You're going with the unmarried women in here. You're doing all kind of filthy lucre in the house of the Lord. You're taking bribes. You love money, pastor. We got to sit you down. And we need you to go mourn before God for your sins. And if you want to hold this position as pastor, you need to mourn and cry and weep and pray to God and ask him to show us that it's all right to let you back to be the shepherd over sheep. Because you've been leading them astray. We're the responsible men of the house of God, and we refuse to go to hell under your watch, which is no watch, because you're not watching for our souls. You're not praying for your own. You're too busy loving money. You're too busy fooling with all the women in the church. Choir members, ushers, everybody. We got to watch you because next you'll be touching young girls underage. So, pastor, we got to sit you down. So, look. Verse 4 says, then all the responsible men of Israel got together and went to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, see now you are old and your sons do not go in your ways. Give us a king now to be our judge so that we may be like the other nations. Now they turned to a king because of Joel and Abijah, Samuel's sons. They were doing wrong at the house of the Lord. They weren't like their daddy, the prophet Samuel. So the responsible men went and told Samuel, look here, we want a king. Your boy's not like you. They over there just turned out. They just gone crazy. The prophet's son's gone wild over there. So look, we want a king now. Because we want to be like other nations. But in verse 6, but Samuel was not pleased when they said to him, give us a king to be our judge. And Samuel made prayer to the Lord. I know he did. But Samuel should have been making prayer way before now when Joab and that boy was over there, Abijah was over there clowning, and he knew about it, the prophet Samuel, that's when the prayer should have came forth. You're in a good position. You like a head man with God. And he done gave you leadership to the people. You're leading the people to God, but your own sons, you're paying no attention. Verse 7 says, and the Lord said to Samuel, give ear to the voice of the people and what they say to you. They have not been turned away from you, but they have been turned away from me, not desiring to be to me, not desiring me to be king over them. Samuel, listen at what the people are telling you. Listen at what they say. And they didn't turn their hearts away from you, Samuel. They turned their hearts away from me. And now they want a king to be over them. Verse 8 says, and as they had done from the first, from the day when I took them out of Egypt till this day, turning away from me and worshiping other gods. So now they are acting in the same way to you. A lot of preachers, pastors, and all these people think that folk gonna be loyal to them because you done preached the grandmama funeral. You done went over there and prayed over the food at the repast of the grandmama funeral. You was there when little Johnny was born. The family was having some issues. You went over there and prayed them through. And you think they're going to be loyal to you? No, ma'am. And no, sir. They're not. They done forgot all about them days when you was there. They forgot about the time when you took the money out your own pocket and blessed the family. Yeah. So, in verse 8, as they have done from the first, from the day when I took them out of Egypt till this day, turning away from me and worshiping other gods. So now they are acting in the same way to you, Samuel. You done blessed them. You got them Philistines off of them. You tell them the truth. I speak out your mouth so that they'll be blessed, but they not loyal to nobody. Yeah. In verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 8, it says, give ear now to their voice. I want you to hear what they got to say, Samuel. But make a serious protest to them. Hear what they got to say, but I want you to let them know how serious this thing is. And give them a picture of the sort of king who will be their ruler. I want you to tell them what kind of king gonna rule over them, Samuel. The way I see it this morning, Israel have bumped their head. Brain just sporadic, going crazy, didn't even know what they were saying. But they meant what they said, and God knew it. So in verse 10, he said, and Samuel said all these words of the Lord to the people who were desiring a king. In other words, he doing what God told him to do. So now Samuel trying to tell him what time it is, what's going to happen. Are y'all crazy? Listen, God said this what's going to happen. I'm telling you what he said going to happen. Have you ever known God to be a lying God? No, never. Well, this is what he said is going to happen. And he said, this is the sort of king who will be your ruler. He'll take your sons and make them his servants, his horsemen and drivers of his war carriages. Yeah. And they will go running before his war carriages. He's going to make servants and slaves out of them. They're going to serve in his army. They got a great possibility of dying because it's death and war. In verse 12, it says, and he will make them captains of thousands and of fifties, and he will put to work plowing and cutting his grain and making his instruments of war and building his war carriages. Yeah. He gonna make captains of thousands and fifties. And some he gonna put them to plowing, put them in the fields working and making instruments of war. They're gonna be making swords and shields and all knives and all this stuff. He's going to put some of them to building the war carriages. We have tanks. Anybody ever seen the army tanks? I've forgotten what you call them. Well, he put them to making the chariots and things to go fight. 13 says, and your daughters, he would take to be makers of perfumes and cooks and bread makers. He's going to put your daughters to work too. They won't be home like they used to help you milk the cow. They won't be home like they used to help you go out there and get up the harvest, you know, hold the rolls. And now they're not going to be there for that. They won't be there to wash no dishes and clothes because they're going to be at the king place. Yeah, they're going to be over there at the palace, you know, making perfumes and cooks and, you know, and the cooking and the baking and, you know, making bread and cookies and for the king. When you have a big party, they'll be over there, you know, cooking and serving at the party. Yeah. 14 says he would take your fields and your vineyard and your vine gardens and your olive garden, all the best of them, and give them to his servants. You done got out in the sun April, in the spring, in the summer, in the winter, in the fall, you out there planting and a digging and a hoeing and a... And when your stuff come up, he gonna take the best that you got and give it to his servants. Your olive yards. Your olive gardens. Your vine, your tomatoes, your squash, your okra. He gonna take all them vegetables that you need, the best of them, and give it to his servants. He's not paying them, you gonna pay him. Today we pay taxes. They're not gonna pay the taxes. We got to pay taxes. The president can take your sons and daughters right now and send them off to war. Yeah. 15 says he would take a tenth of your seed and of the fruit of your vine and give it to his servants. Everything you grow. Because back then, they growed everything. There wasn't no Winn-Dixie, wasn't no Save-A-Lot, wasn't no Walmart, wasn't no public store. Yeah, everything you got, if you didn't grow, you didn't eat. You grow the wheat for your bread and all of that. So he going to take the very best of what you done worked hard to plant and give it to his servants. 16 says he would take your men servants and your servant girls and the best of your oxen and your asses and put them to his work. He gonna come over there and get the best of your cows and things, the best of your horses, the best of your donkeys, and he gonna put it to work for his work. He gonna use your stuff for what he wanna get done. Don't do it, y'all. Please don't do it. God been more than fair to you. He's been your king. And he took nothing from you. He asked for a tenth for tithe, so that there would be meat in his house. If anybody fell short, they could come to the house of the Lord and make up the difference. But he didn't send your daughters to baking nothing. He didn't send your sons to running nothing. And to fighting, no, he didn't do all of that. So 17 again says he would take a tenth of your sheep and you'll be his servants. You'll be his servants. Everybody. 18 says, then you will be crying out because of your king whom you have taken for yourselves. But the Lord will not give you an answer in that day. You're going to come crying to me about the king because he took everything from you. He done passed the wrong kind of judgment against you. He don't even know you. See, I know you. I know the very intent of your heart. I'm your God. I made you for my pleasure. But you no longer want me in my judgment. You want what man can give you. You want a king. But when you come crying to me now, I will not give you an answer in that day you come crying. And the day you come to me wilding and rolling and crying because of what your king that you wanted did, I won't give you an answer in that day. I won't say nothing. You made your choice. I sent Samuel the prophet to tell you what was going to happen. But you won't hear. I told the church you have nothing to do with politics. I'm your God. Whatever you want, come to me. But you want to be a part of all this stuff. And you want to have these people up in my house at the roster talking to my people. So look, 19 says this. But the people gave no attention to the voice of Samuel. Do y'all hear this? And they said, no, but we will have a king over us. They won't hear the voice of Barbara when she's telling them what I said. It sounds foreign and strange and weird. They say she off key. She don't know what she's talking about. Yeah. So they won't listen. They didn't listen to Samuel. People, verse 19 of 1 Samuel chapter 8. But the people gave no attention to the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us. No matter what he do to our children, no matter what he take from us, we're going to have a king. So, but he told them, then you'll be crying out because of your king. They said, no, but we'll still have a king over us. No matter if we cry, let him take our daughters and our sons. Let him make servants out of all of us. Let him take the first and all of the good stuff we got. Many of us say these things to the Lord, don't even notice what we're saying. Many of us tell God many different things without saying a word. It's our actions. Somebody taught you, action speaks louder than words. And it does. And it does. I can hear what you say because God is the same way. But I'm looking at what you're doing. And if what you're saying and what you're doing are two different things, We understand that's a lie. Verse 20 says, so that we may be like the other nations, and so that our king may be our judge and go out before us to war. Do you hear this crazy? But how many of us done did some crazy stuff? How many of us done thought of some crazy things and went through with it? 21 says, then Samuel, after hearing all the people had to say, after he heard everything they had to say, he listened to it all, went and gave an account of it to the Lord. He went and told God what, because God told him, go hear what they got to say, Samuel. Paint a full picture to these people what's going to happen to them. Show them what this king going to do for them and their children. So he went to give an account to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, give ear to their voice and make a king for them. Then Samuel said to the men of Israel, let every man go back to his town. Oh, it's going to get serious after this, y'all. This is chapter 8. And we might be back on 9 on Monday, because the day Thursday, if I'm correct. And we're going to have testify Friday tomorrow. Yeah. So on Monday, we'll get back to chapter 9 and finish up over there and things. I love that first and second Samuel. I'm sorry. And I know some people may say, oh, no, it's boring. I'm sleepy. It will go on and do it, Barbara. It helped me to sleep real good. Okay. But these are things we need to remember. God gave us these Old Testament scriptures, books, chapters for our learning. We can learn how these people treated him so that we won't treat him that way, because look what he has done for us. He gave his only begotten son. Not a mother I know alive would have gave up her boy for a bunch of folks who wasn't going to treat him right. She knew they was not going to treat her son right. She wouldn't have gave that boy up. No real father would have gave his son up knowing they wasn't going to treat him right. But love lifted us. Love caused us to be blessed. Without Jesus, we wouldn't be here. No, sir, and no, ma'am. God found a way to redeem us back to him because we were separated after the deal with Adam and Eve. Yeah. So this morning, we're thankful unto God for his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His word is a lamp unto our feet, I'm telling you, and a light unto our path. And we need to pray more for understanding of his word. Because all it's going to do is bless us and cause us to be in right standing with him. I don't know nobody who don't want to be in right standings with the God that created them, with the God that made them for his pleasure. Where are these people? It would have to be a sick and disturbed person who don't want to be in good standings with a God that made them. And he thought you was pleasurable. So he made you and it made him happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, oh God, that word is settled in heaven. And Lord, every time we think on first or second Samuel, help us, Lord, to want to do better unto you. Fix our hearts this morning and regulate our minds. Father, let this mind be in us today that was also in Christ Jesus. Help us to serve you in love by serving others. Give us a spirit of obedience in this hour like never before unto you and your word. In the name of Jesus. This morning, Father, touch and heal those that are sick. Lord, you took a beating for the healing of the nation that's yet healing in the hem of your garment. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. And Lord, many of your people are suffering with different ailments. Move by your healing spirit today and bless your people. Lord, take a few back. Take them back to the age of where they were feeling well, where they felt healthy in their bodies, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning for all you've done already, what you're doing right now, Father, and what you're going to do. Oh, we thank you today for every caller and every listener. Bless Irene and bless Brother Frank this morning. Bless Lou and Sherry, God. Move for Sister Jerry today, God. Move for Sion and Pastor David, Sister Dorothy Goodman this morning. And Lord, the list goes on. Move for Thelma today, Lord, in a mighty way. God, she's been a blessing. Move for Erica this morning. Give her safe travels there and back, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. Oh, we bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Again, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. The studio is open. If there's anyone have something they would like to say this morning, please feel free to press that number one. You don't have to be shy. You don't have to be ashamed. I know God saves you. If you come here every day, you're seeking God for something. You're looking for something in him. Press the number one and say good morning. Press the number one and say God is real. He can say two words and that's it. And just tell me, Miss Barbara, that's all I had to say. And I'm hanging you up. Hallelujah. Give God something today. He's given you so much. I believe it's Brother Frank Peoples, Apostle Peoples. Good morning, Brother Frank. God bless you this morning. How are you?
Good Lord. I'm blessed. Good morning to you and each and everyone on the line. I just thank God for being here this morning. Thank God for listening in and loving every minute and second of it. And everyone on the line, I love all of you. There's nothing you can do about it. God bless y'all. Be safe. Most of all, honor Father with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Be blessed and love him. And God bless you, my sister. I'm doing a lot of stuff, but I'm trying to catch you in when I can and keep up with what's going on with you until I be able to get it all together. Now, God almost he have me on the right track. I got a couple more weeks, and I'll be graduating out of the school. And then I won't have that to do.
Amen. I'll do it for him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is faithful. He is there. Yeah, and one thing about it, Brother Frank, you had to do what you had to do, but every now and then you would let me know, oh, I'm here. Pray for me. Just keep me in prayer.
Yeah, it's all right today.
And you look at Fionn, say good morning, Brother Frank, Sister Dr. Goodman, say good morning.
Good morning, Sister Fionn, your husband.
Yeah, Fionn said
good morning.
Yeah, she said congratulations, Brother Frank.
Thank you. To God be all the glory. It's been long and rough, but it's almost there. And I thank God for being with me, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, being with me in time. Because they give me everything oil. And so you have to have your memory cap on. So the Holy Spirit has to be with you. There's no other way you could do it without him. I listened to you this morning about Jesus and about the Father and how he gave up his son for us and how you cannot understand and know this, how you cannot honor him with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love him with all of it. Because without Jesus Christ, we all go to hell. Everybody. Won't make any difference. I thank God for sending him here on earth and being with us to show us how to get through all of this, how to be able to make it through these times that it's already laid out in the Bible. All we have to do is follow it. And God, stay under his anointing. Stay under his will. Stay in his will and under his anointing. And we'll get through all of this. Everything that's going on. I thank him for it. And I love him more than I love myself. Keep me humble. Keep me near the cross and keep me under his blood. And all of you as well. Be great in the eyes of the Lord because he loves us all. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful unto the Lord. And Brother Lewis say, hey, Brother Frank.
Hey, Brother Lewis. Keep Ocala down. Keep it. Hold Ocala down. Because I'm trying to hold Vegas down because they got fires going on here. And I'm I'm praying the Lord for divine protection. Because right now, and if I go north, they got fires in Colorado, and they got them in, if I go south, they got them in California. So I got to hold. See, can't go east because I got to go through New Mexico, and they got fires in New Mexico.
Wow. Yes, sir. But
God has it. God has it.
Yes. Amen. He's got it all under control. Yes, sir. Amen. So we thank God for you coming through this morning, and I know some may not understand, but Brother Frank been here for me many days. And when a man would come, I never been a man. I don't know how to be a man. I would send him to talk to Brother Frank. And Brother Frank would talk to him, show him love, and teach him a little something. And the next thing you know, a brother on his way good. Brother Anthony was one of those brothers. And so I thank God for him. Thank God for the many days he used Brother Frank to bless the children. And many other things. Bless me. Bless Jesus in the morning. Jesus in the morning confectionery. Yeah, I never forget it. And so we keep you lifted up in prayer, Brother Frank, that God would continue to keep you and bless you because we know your work is not done. Yeah, he's got lots more for you to do. And so we're thankful
Amen.
Unto the Lord. Yeah, Brother Frank was sitting by the sister. Look, we the opposite. He by the sister, he said in my way, go over there to Jesus in the morning and listen and tell me what you think. I said, you know what? And then it was coming. Well, Brother Frank told me to come. I said, that Frank is no joke. Frank used to work that phone all four times. Y'all better hear me. Yeah, I got to go to the VA today. He's sitting in the car at the VA or wherever he can sit, and he's ministering. He's talking to people. Well, if he could help them, he would help them. And when he first come, he was so excited, and he was the kind of man until people messed it up. People messed it up. He would give you the shirt off his back, every dime that he could give you, because he wanted you to be blessed and to be a blessing unto others. Yeah, the same Frank, the same Apostle Frank people right here. You hear me call him Brother Frank because that's how we start off, but this is Apostle
Amen.
Frank people. Hallelujah. And so I'm grateful unto him. And when you're brothers and sisters and you're a friend like this, you can say
right.
certain things.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. You're my
yeah.
sister and I'm your brother. And we know,
yeah.
I think everybody knows this. They've been
yeah.
doing this for years now. This is
yeah.
this is a solid foundation, solid relationship together.
Hallelujah.
And each and every one is on the line. If I can, when I get a chance, I'm almost there where I can get back to my phone and get back to doing what I love to do, and that's
Amen.
Telling them about Jesus Christ and how much
Hallelujah.
He loves and where he brought me from.
Yeah.
That's the key, where he brought me from. Open the back door and look out. Back there and say, look at that. Look at that little boy from Alabama where God done brought him from. Days or whatever, however it may be, when I thought it was no God or nothing in it, but he knew he was right there taking me through it, letting me know I would get this day to be
Thank
able
you.
To tell his people how great he is,
yeah.
how wonderful
Thank
he is,
Thank
and
you.
What he'll do. No matter what's going on in your life,
Yeah.
no matter how it's going on in your life, God
okay.
has this. He has this. He has the whole world at sight every day. He doesn't sleep
yeah.
or slumber. So he's right there looking,
Amen.
Just trusting. Stay
God.
Anchored in Jesus.
Thank
Let
you.
The Holy Ghost guide you through. You'll be
Thank
all right.
You.
You'll be all right. Then now, doctor
Thank
tell
you.
Me something, okay, I understand
you.
What you're saying. But
Thank
I know
you.
Who has the last word in my life is Jesus
Thank
Christ, the advocate. Sitting there at the right hand of the Father saying, hey, I know when, and that's it. And I accept that in the name of Jesus. Because I look around, and most all the ones I started with, they're gone.
Yes, sir.
So God telling me, continue to do what you do. When your work is done, you can come home.
Yeah.
Amen. And
Amen.
I accept that.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Frank, I do the same thing these days. I look for friends, they gone. I look
yeah.
for people I've known for years. This is where they used to hang out at. They're no longer there. And I'm like, oh, things have really changed out here. But God is yet faithful. And
yeah,
he
yeah.
is yet faithful to his people. And he's looking for those who want to be faithful unto him. Hallelujah.
That's right.
And so we give him glory today. We give
mm-hmm.
him honor.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful I know him for myself. And it's not just talk, but I learned that I could live this which I teach, which I preach. Because that's what God is looking for. Yeah. He's not looking for just lip service. Yeah, I understand, Brother Lewis, his two best friends, they already passed. Yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah, I've had some to go on. Cousins that was my favorite cousins, I call them close. They gone on. Yeah, but God left me here for work because I have a work to do. So he left me here so that work can get done. Hallelujah. So I'm never alone. You know, I mean, I may be alone, but I'm never lonely. I put it that way. Because he won't leave me. And he won't forsake me. He'll be with us until the end. Hallelujah. I'm grateful him. Hold on, Brother Frank. I'm going to bring Sister Jerry in. Good morning,
Amen.
Sister Jerry. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. I am well. Good morning, Brother Frank, Brother Louis.
Good morning.
And everyone that's listening, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say great teaching this morning, great teaching, great teaching. Great teaching. You can't be led by man because God's word says trust no man. And I don't mean man individual. He's just saying trust. You can't trust people. So you just got to do what's right by God and all will be added unto you. Great teaching this morning.
Yes,
that's what I want to say because you're going to go through some trials. I mean, you just going to go through some stuff when you're trying to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
But people got to understand when you make God a promise, you can't go back on it.
Mm-hmm.
When I was hitting that tree over 100 miles an hour, I said, God, save me, and I won't turn back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just can't turn back to my wicked ways. I can't mm-hmm. because, see, the devil will kill, steal, and destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
He know your weakness. That's what he does. But I'm here to serve God for the rest of my life.
Amen.
This, as they say, this journey is not no easy journey that you walk. So don't be getting jealous of Barbara because she had to give up a lot of things to be on this journey. Don't get jealous of Jerry. She given up a lot of things to be on this journey. Yes, she does. And trust me, people think you're stupid. My family, they think I'm stupid. They just try me. I'm like, no. I see what you're doing. But no, I serve a mighty good God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to serve him for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say, great teaching, Baba. We serve God. And he's going to always take good care of us. Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, Sion was helping me preach this morning. I said, go ahead now. Go to tell it, Pippin. I will put it on out there where it's supposed to be. But that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And it lets you know that who's been listening. Yeah, it lets you know who was listening and what they got. Yeah, that they can come back and repeat back to you what you, yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. And I thank God for it this morning. And we're moving right along. And Frank, I got you here today. So I want to play this one right here for you this morning. Wait a minute. I'm going to play
Amen.
This one.
Thank you.
is the kind of radio you need. Yes, Jesus in the Morning Radio. Bold radio for real people.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wanted you to hear that one, Brother Frank, and I wanted to dedicate that one to you because there are some new things taking place, not just with you, but in you. Yeah, I could hear the songwriter saying, make me over again. Yeah, wash me over in your precious blood because God is doing a new thing for you, Brother Frank, and in you. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Many still will be reached. Many will still be reached because he have great work for you to do. Yeah. And so we thank God for his way. Not my way, but his way. Yeah. Something look off. It looks sound off. But no, God know what he's doing. I don't know. But he know everything that he's doing for his people this morning. God bless you, Sister Jared. Thank God for you. And we pray that the Lord continue to bless us all, to keep our hearts and minds in him, because that's where it's most important, in him. Good morning to you, Pastor David. Good morning to you, Sister Stena. Good morning to you, Sister Samoa. God bless you this morning. And Sister Rita, good morning to you. Did I say Pastor David? Sion, good morning. Sister Dorothy Goodman, good morning. Again, Sister Jerry, Brother Frank, Brother Louis, good morning. God bless you. God bless you. These are the ones that I can see in the studio. Good morning to you, Thelma. God bless you. I know you're listening. She had her phone out yesterday. Show me how to get in the chat room and what I got to do now, Barbara. I had to start this over. Yeah. So good morning to you. Good morning, Sister Mary Ann. Good morning, Sister Melanie Rose, Sister Angela in California, Sister Laura, Mr. Mason, and Miss Deborah, good morning, good morning. Alexis, Andrea in Philadelphia, Keisha Rita, good morning to you. Sister Angela Foote, Sister Anna Lee Foote this morning, God bless you, God bless you. Good morning, good morning. And Sister Kim Hopps. God bless you, Kim. I got to check on them. I got their phone number. I don't know what be going on so much. And I write it down and then go, well, I got to get this done. Yeah, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there and check on them. Good morning to you, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, and Sister Yvonne. Good morning to you. Good morning to you, Brother Louis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Mike Hopps, Brother George West Terry, Brother Lee Hamilton, and Brother Cal, Brother Justin Gilmore, and Brother Marquez Griffin, and again, Brother Frank. God bless you this morning. Thank God for each and every one of you. And we are grateful to be here today. Yeah, grateful unto the Lord. He could have sent us another way. And, you know, many times we hanging out with people and this and that. Folks don't really love you. They got the tone set to make you think that they love you, but love is what love does. Yeah. I know people, I can't call my pastor like this. He said this, and I can't go back the aisle. That, let me tell you something. Love is what love does. We all get busy. I'm one person, and I try to serve as many as possible. But eventually, if you got to call me, you pick up the phone and call me. Yeah. And I know God is blessing right now. He's able to see us through. If we'll look to the hills from which cometh our help, all of our help comes from the Lord. And notice, if we ask God for anything and he does not move right away, what we're asking at this time, it won't work together for our good. Because he said all things must work together for the good of them that love him, the called according to his purpose. Listen, if it will work for you, God will open that door quickly. And sometimes it's what you ask for, God needs you to have patience for, because it's not the right time to come. But just have patience. He's going to bring it to pass at the right time and when it's really going to work together for your good. Trust God today and trust what he's doing. He's not punishing you. Your trial come to make you strong, not to punish. He didn't move in your timing because it wasn't good timing. Trust God. If he so loved you, he sent his only begotten son to suffer, hang, bleed, and die for you. Truly asking him for some money is no big deal. He's going to work it out where it's safe for you. He's going to work it out where he get it from a good place for you. He's going to work it out so you'll never have to pay it back. Oh, God got a mighty sweet way. He's going to pay the credit cards off. He's going to make you debt free. Hallelujah. Wait on him. Trust him. It's already all right today in Jesus' name. So we thank him this morning. We give him glory. We give him honor and praise. Yeah, Lord, we thank you today. So look, I am going to pray us out. If no one else have anything they would like to say, and we'll just get out just a tad bit early this morning, just a few minutes. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., and we're going to get more of Samuel, 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter. We're going to start on Monday, if the Lord says the same, because we want to get in there and get that done. And, okay, Brother Frank, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I understand. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for bringing Brother Frank through today. Father, we ask that you would touch and heal him and his sister. Lord, we ask that your anointing would flow through his house, and Lord, it would continue to keep him safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. You know more than he know what he's standing in need of today. And Father, you're the one that supply need according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. Do it for Brother Frank and do it for his sister in the name of Jesus. Open doors for him, make ways. And Lord, let him graduate with honors in the name of Jesus. Oh, you're the great God. You have all power. There's no higher power than you. Father, you have the last word on everything. And we thank you this morning, for we are yours. We belong to you. And you take good care of what you made. And Father, we thank you. As we depart this morning, Father, I ask that you would bless every caller and every listener, every family member of theirs, every friend of theirs, near and far. Today, Father, you know what they stand in the need of. You know the bills they have to pay. God, you know what the desires of their hearts are. We ask that you would move for these your faithful people. They come every morning, Father. They hear what the Spirit have to say to the church. Lord, move in a mighty way today. Move by your Spirit quickly for these your people, those that stand in the need of money. Lord, I ask that you would send it their way today. Don't even let them have to go get it. Send it their way in the name of Jesus. Those that are in business, Lord, open doors and open new accounts. And Lord, let it be long-running accounts that's faithful to pay them, God, some daily, some weekly, in the name of Jesus. And Father, again, as we depart, bless our going out and our coming in. Meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Help us to remember Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, chapter 3, 5 through 7. Father, help us to remember it. Help us to keep our mind on you today. Lord, help us to obey your word today in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you all honor and praise. Again, in Jesus' name, amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. May the 5th, 2022, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. Have a blessed day. And a later, Taylor Louis, have a blessed day. We're going to our last song of the morning. Hallelujah.
But the miry clay and place the mount on a rock to stay. Oh, what a relief it was when God rescued me. He loosed the chains that had me bound and he set me free. And it felt
cooling water from grandma's well.
If thou, dear God. Hold on 1 second, Mrs. Crowd. Just hold on 1 second, Mrs. Crowd. Wait a minute. Okay, I think that's right. I'm saying goodbye to Brother Louis. Hold on 1 minute. I got to end the episode. Okay.